Thank you so much. I work on, devoted my life to working on neglected diseases of poverty and emphasizing the word N, neglected. I'm not used to speaking in such a large venue, so that's not often we get so many people in a room to hear my definition about neglected diseases. So if I seem a little overwhelmed, it's because it is a little overwhelming. I don't know if it's possible to get the lights down a little bit more than they are. That would be helpful, especially in the front. Most of my work has been done in developing countries, looking at diseases of what we call the bottom billion, the billion people in the world who live on no money, live on less than a dollar a day. And I want to start out telling you about some of the new initiatives that we've embarked on to provide the bottom billion with access to essential medicines for neglected diseases, reaching them in the poorest countries of the world, but then shift gears a little bit and talk, for at least for me, the first time in public about a new effort that we've been looking at in here in the Western Hemisphere, in the Caribbean, and now in the United States to address a very glaring health disparity that many people are not aware about. So I'll start internationally. The neglected tropical diseases are a group of parasitic and bacterial infections that really are the most common infections of the poorest people. Our estimates are that about a billion people are infected. Actually, 1.2 billion people are infected worldwide with one or more of these neglected tropical diseases. And essentially, every individual, particularly a child, of the bottom billion is infected with one or more of these neglected tropical diseases. So here are some numbers. Ascariasis, the large intestinal roundworm, 807 million people are, and this is one of the most common, probably the most common infection worldwide. This little boy on the right was a picture taken by a colleague of mine in Haiti. And those of you who have worked in developing countries will recognize this child or a child like it. Meaning that he's got a big distended abdomen, he's emaciated, he's stunted for height and weight, and when you run your hand over the surface of his abdomen, you'll actually palpate the outline of worms. All of the bottom billion are infected with Ascaris roundworms. Most are infected with Trichuris whipworms in their colon, 600 million people with hookworms, 200 million people with schistosomes in their vasculature, 120 million with disfiguring lymphatic filariasis in their lymphatics and their genitals. This is the only non-parasitic top of the list for the neglected tropical diseases, trachoma, cause of blindness, and 37 million with river blindness, onchocerciasis. So these are the leading neglected infections and probably the most common infections of poor people. The one of the reasons why they don't get a lot of attention is because they tend not to be killer diseases. They don't present dramatically, at least initially, as acute infections like SARS or avian flu or West Nile virus. These are chronic infections. They last a long time. Sometimes people are infected with neglected tropical diseases for years, sometimes decades, sometimes their entire lives. And during this time, they become they're chronic infections. They can become very disfiguring and disabling, and there's a huge social stigma attached to these diseases. So this individual here says it's quite a problem for me when I have to stand at work for long periods. When women are affected with diseases like lymphatic filariasis, they're rendered unmarriageable. It's grounds for abandonment by their husbands. They're not allowed to hold their children, even though that's not how these diseases are transmitted. This is one of the reasons why they take such a large toll among adults, among children. These are chronic infections. In addition, what I'm showing you on the right is a wormy curve. It's basically saying that if you look at age on the x-axis, number of worms on the y-axis, there's a period in the life of an individual between the ages of 4 and 5 and 15 when they're in school or when they should be in school, when children harbor larger numbers of worms than any other age population in a given village, the basis of which is still not known. And this is an example, again, of Ascaris infection. This little girl from Paraguay has got the big distended abdomen, and those are the worms from that one child. And so what you have is throughout the developing world in the poorest regions of Sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, Latin America, every child you'll see has this infection. And the consequence then is can be dramatic, but more often than not, it's the subtle pathology. So these are the leading causes of growth failure among children and a leading cause of what we presume to be the basis of malnutrition. So if you look at the way I'm trying to show you that is a growth curve you'll recognize from your child's pediatric visit or even your own pediatric visit if you're young enough, where you looked at different percentiles of age versus weight on the y-axis, and then you looked at how you see how your child's growing along different growth curves. Here's a child with flat line growth unless we intervene with a dose of drugs to get rid of the worms, and then there's enormous catch-up growth. So these are the leading cause of growth failure, but they're also equally important. The more worms you have, the more loss in IQ points you have. The more worms you have, the greater your memory loss, the greater reduction in your cognitive abilities and school performance and school attendance. So they're not only affecting growth, they're affecting the ability of a child to learn in school and become educated. And on that basis, Hoyt Bleakley, an international development economist, has shown hookworm infection, a disease of 600 million children in developing countries, reduces your future wage earning capacity by 40%. So these are enormous causes of disability. One of the ways we use to represent that is looking at the DALY, the disability adjusted life year, the number of healthy life years lost, either from premature death or disability because of those disabling features. You get this extraordinary number that neglected tropical diseases cause 56 million DALYs lost annually. Now that number should mean absolutely nothing to you because DALYs tend to be only interesting because they allow you to compare with one condition to another, such as HIV/AIDS, malaria, or TB. And what we're saying is we talk about the big three, AIDS, malaria, and TB, and there's a very important fourth leg to this table of the neglected tropical diseases. But equally important to the health burden is the impact on poverty. So neglected tropical diseases not only occur in the setting of poverty, but for reasons I've alluded to before, they actually promote poverty and are a major reason why the bottom billion cannot escape poverty, because of their direct impact on impairing child growth and development. And I talked to you about the economic analysis. Very important is these are not only child problems, these are maternal child health problems. We just recently published a paper in Public Library Science showing that there are 7 million women in sub-Saharan Africa with chronic hookworm infection. A third of the pregnant women in sub-Saharan Africa are infected with hookworm, major cause of anemia, which greatly adds to the likelihood of maternal morbidity, mortality, and poor neonatal outcome. An enormous impact on worker productivity. Chronic lymphatic filariasis reduces your agricultural productivity by literally billions of dollars in India and elsewhere in sub-Saharan Africa, where they become important. So this has an important role in the world's food crisis as well, this concept that NTDs promote poverty, neglected tropical diseases. That's the bad news. The good news is at the Global Network for Neglected Tropical Diseases, which is based at the Sabin Vaccine Institute in Washington, we've now been working with a group of seven public-private partnerships that includes the Schistosomiasis Control Initiative, the International Trachoma Initiative, Helen Keller International, the Earth Institute of Columbia, the Global Alliance to Eliminate Lymphatic Filariasis, the Task Force for Child Survival, and I think I'm forgetting a couple of others right now, to look at how we can make increased efficiencies for gaining access to drugs to get rid of these parasitic worm infections and neglected tropical diseases. And this is a map of the world as from the standpoint of a neglected tropical disease expert, where looking at the countries in the red and the orange and the yellow, or where you have five, six, or seven of those leading neglected tropical diseases all occurring in the same geographic location. What that means, practically speaking, is that people are polyparasitized. They don't just have one neglected tropical disease, they'll have multiple at the same time. And on that basis, we've designed a package of drugs that includes, at the top there, either albendazole or mebendazole, praziquantel, ivermectin or diethyl carbamazine, and azithromycin to get those seven neglected tropical diseases: ascariasis, hookworm, trichuriasis, schistosomiasis, lymphatic filariasis, onchocerciasis, and trachoma. And the cost is extraordinary. It's at 50 cents a person per year. So what we're saying is while we certainly have to continue to provide access for antiretrovirals for the poorest people in sub-Saharan Africa and elsewhere at a cost of hundreds of dollars a person, or direct observed therapy for TB or antimalarials and bed nets, which is still a very good buy, add another 50 cents per person per year. And if you believe those DALY numbers, you could essentially double your impact for a tiny, tiny add-on cost. And the organization that we've established to help facilitate this is called the Global Network for Neglected Tropical Diseases. We're very proud of our little worm in the globe there and in the upper right-hand corner. And we're committed to raising the profile of neglected tropical diseases, leveraging international investments to provide these very cost-effective treatments. And our member organizations have treated 147 million people in 2007, with a goal to scale up to reach the entire bottom billion over the next 7 years with this package that we call the Rapid Impact Package because of its immediate impact. So that's the global network. At the same time, at the Sabin Vaccine Institute, we're looking at developing some longer-term strategies, including developing vaccines for neglected tropical diseases. And we're also the home of the Human Hookworm Vaccine Initiative and the Schistosomiasis Vaccine, which is funded by the Gates Foundation. One of the problems for hookworm is while the Rapid Impact Package usually works, we're now starting to see the emergence of drug resistance against mebendazole, one of the very important drugs. So we can't be complacent and just assume we're going to give the package of drugs and the problem is solved. We have to anticipate the likelihood of drug resistance and then start building in new tools over time. The reason I'm showing you this map, which is a distribution of schistosomiasis, is something that struck us a few years ago that gets to the next part of our story with diseases in the Americas. So here's the distribution of schistosomiasis, and you see the green there where you have schistosoma mansoni infection, but you see that little sliver along the western edge, along the eastern edge of South America and the Caribbean. Where did it come from? Anybody want to guess? Somebody said Africa. You're exactly right. So these are infections that were brought over 300, 400, 500 years ago with the Middle Passage. And as we were working in Brazil and Haiti, it really struck me that these diseases, even today, in the Americas, are still occurring among who? Indigenous people and people of African descent. It's actually a living legacy of slavery right in our own backyard that we allowed to continue. So when you look at where the highest rates of these infections are, they occur in the coast of West Africa, where 90% of slaves were brought over during the Middle Passage. Countries such as Angola, where 40% of the slaves came from, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, and Nigeria. And today, so if you look at where the Atlantic slave trade took people to, it's 40% around to the Caribbean, 40% in Brazil, and these diseases that we allow to be still present here today, even though we can get rid of them for what, 50 cents a person per year. So one of the more dramatic examples is right in our own backyard. So if you look at Haiti, these are the numbers of a population of 8 million. We have 776,000 cases of hookworm. We still have 560,000 cases of elephantiasis in Haiti. Incredible in the DR, Dominican Republic, 95,000 cases of hookworm, 250,000 cases of schistosomiasis, 50,000 cases of lymphatic filariasis. What would be the cost to eliminate them? Well, we're looking at, again, 50 cents a person per year over 5 years. So if you look at Haiti, so that's 8 million people, let's say roughly $4 million a year times 5 years, $20 million. So what is $20 million? How many tourists come to the Caribbean every year? Turns out 22 million. They spend 22 million tourists visit the Caribbean every year. They spend $22 billion, tourist dollars in the Caribbean. Essentially, if you could get each tourist to the Caribbean to contribute $1 per person, you'd have enough funds to eliminate these diseases over the next 5 years. And so that's one of the things we're looking at the global network. What do we do about the Caribbean? At the same time, we started to look at the United States. And it turns out, guess what? The United States is not Denmark. We have enormous pockets of poverty in the United States, and I'm certainly not telling this or, this group anything new, but here, this is a map developed by Dr. Holt at the Center for Disease Control, where the pockets of extreme poverty are, and it's only showing southern poverty. It's not showing the inner cities or some of the tribal lands. But what we're seeing is these intense pockets of poverty in the Mississippi Delta, post-Katrina Louisiana, Appalachia, and along the Texas-Mexico border. And with that now, we are finding extraordinary rates of neglected tropical diseases. The common determinant, very important point, is poverty, because I have to make that point because some of the anti-immigrant groups have gotten a hold of some of this data and tried to twist it around, saying this is an immigrant issue, this is why we shouldn't allow immigrants in the United States. It has nothing to do with it. There's now transmission in the United States of these diseases. So, for instance, cysticercosis is a brain parasite that is now become the leading cause of epilepsy among Hispanic kids in the American Southwest, in Los Angeles, in Phoenix, in Tucson, in San Antonio, right here in San Diego. Our estimates are there'd be between 41 and 169,000 cases of this brain parasite right here in the United States. So this huge health disparity, 10% of children presenting with seizures to an emergency department in Los Angeles that's the leading cause resulting from brain cysticercosis, a parasitic worm infection. Chagas disease, caused by that lovely, what looks like a cockroach at the bottom left-hand corner. It's like a cockroach on steroids, has the ability to feed on blood. There is now endemic transmission of Chagas disease in Louisiana and Mississippi, and it is in Latin America, it's a leading cause of heart disease. Our estimates are huge variation because we don't have, and this is actually an important message, that we've not done adequate surveillance to really determine the true prevalence. So some numbers suggest there may be only 3,000 cases, but possibly up to 1 million. Probably it's somewhere in between, probably a couple of 100,000. But these are so neglected that we're just at the tip of the iceberg of beginning to really look at this, because why? It's occurring among poor Hispanic people, now African-American minorities, Texas-Mexico border, Mississippi, and Louisiana, in post-Katrina Louisiana. So we don't know what the burden of heart disease is. We do know that there's now been some contamination of the blood, U.S. blood supply with the parasite that causes Chagas disease, Trypanosoma cruzi, and now documented transmission in the U.S. Toxocariasis. Now, many don't feel bad if you haven't even heard of these infections before, because that's one of our points. We want to make these diseases household words. Everyone's heard of Lyme disease, but who's heard of toxocariasis, a disease of 2.8 million African Americans in the United States, incredibly high seroprevalence. Toxocare is a worm parasite transmitted by dogs. Kids are getting it in the inner cities, in the American South. It causes two major syndromes. One of them is asthma. What is the contribution of this infection to the rise of asthma in our inner city kids and minority populations? Totally unknown. And also developmental delays. So 50% seroprevalence among some Hispanic groups. So this is now endemic in the American South and inner cities. What is the contribution to asthma and developmental delays? One of the problems is the tools that we use for these diseases are still in the dark ages. It actually is ground up worms or secreted worm products in the test that's used at the CDC. Could we develop a new test with recombinant reagents that could be deployed widely throughout the U.S.? Absolutely we could, but these are so neglected and so underfunded that that's a problem. Congenital cytomegalovirus, when you go into institutions for the retarded and you see kids who are either intellectually retarded or deaf, one of the major reasons is congenital cytomegalovirus. It's a leading cause of hearing loss, vision loss, and mental retardation among congenitally infected kids. There's 27,000 new CMV infections among seronegative pregnant women every year. The estimates are that among African-American women, they have a 50-fold increase in risk relative to other populations of a certain age. There is a vaccine that's been developed for cytomegalovirus. It's used for transplant patients. Nobody is accelerating the use of this vaccine right now for pregnant African-American women. Trichomoniasis, I know the time's getting late, I'll finish up. 880,000 cases of this parasitic and sexually transmitted infection among African-American women. Leptospirosis, which is a rat-borne infection, which are now have been outbreaks in Detroit and Baltimore, which we won't talk about. Strongyloides in Appalachia. High rates of infection, 1 to 4% prevalence in rural areas, 68,000 cases, and I won't have time to talk about that. So this is my last slide I'll show, which is that the parallels between parasitic and these neglected tropical diseases among poor people and minority populations in the U.S. bear a striking resemblance to what we can find in many developing countries. So the rates of trichomoniasis are this pretty much similar between our inner cities of the United States among African-American populations in Nigeria. Toxocara infections are comparable to Nigeria. HIV/AIDS. You've heard about the report from the Black AIDS Institute a few months ago. That was a very poignant report saying that if Black America were a country, it would have the 16th highest AIDS prevalence in the world. The same is true for these neglected tropical diseases, cysticercosis, myasthenics, and dengue infection. So the urgent need then, I believe, is to take steps not to eliminate schistosomiasis, lymphatic filariasis in the Caribbean. Again, the cost of $1 per tourist annually. I don't know why. Oh, the reason I wrote Guantanamo facility, I wrote an editorial about my vision for what we should do with the Guantanamo facility, which is converted into a center for neglected diseases and research in the Americas. Assess neglected disease burden in the U.S., determine the level of the full extent of transmission in the U.S., and now look at how we're going to implement some simple and cost-effective public health solutions, screening clinics, and now develop a new generation of drugs, diagnostics, and vaccines. And I'd like to thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you.